Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Yes, episode 138 of The Sports Trench is here. And again, it's only the two of us. Just the two of us. Muffy, how are you, my friend?
Oh, good, thanks, mate.
How was your weekend?
It was good.
Get up to anything exciting.
What
long weekend.
What did I do?
In Canberra it was,
the
anyway.
Nation's capital long weekend.
Yeah, Reconciliation Day. Did you reconcile things?
I did some washing. Does that count?
Sure.
Reconciled some clothing.
Okay. That's not what it's for, but anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's what I did. What else did we do over the weekend? I went to a birthday party.
Yes.
Raging four-year-old's birthday party.
Oh, four-year-old's birthday party.
Yep. Something a little bit different. Instead of, like, they had, you know, cake and that sort of stuff, but they had kids' entertainment, which was a reptile guy. Just come in with
You've got a reptile guy? Is this what you're saying?
I got a reptile guy. Guy came in with a whole bunch of boxes, and of course, he had cargo pants on and a ponytail, which you got to have if you're a reptile man.
Apparently, yes.
You have to have this.
Yep.
Whole bunch of random boxes that you couldn't see in and just kept on pulling out. Turtles, lizards, snakes, goanna, crocodile.
Oh yeah, no thanks.
Two snakes, crocodile.
Yeah.
A couple of turtles.
There's
weed everywhere. Run the carpet, run on the rug. Well, not my rugs. I didn't care.
You didn't care. No. Yep. Good. Excellent.
That was good fun.
That was former host Joe's son's
correct.
4-year-old birthday
That's
party.
That's correct. So good time.
I was unavailable for that one, which was probably a win.
So where were you? This is road trip number two.
This is road trip number two. We were in Wagga.
Just one.
Yeah. Just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Wagga.
Just
not,
one.
Wagga. Not Wagga Wagga.
We were in Wagga.
So why can't you call? So you can call Wagga. You can call Wagga Wagga Wagga. Why can't you?
How many Wagga Waggas does it take to Wagga Wagga?
And what is
called Wagga Wagga?
We've had this before on the show. What does Wagga Wagga mean?
Oh, I don't know. We did have this on the show.
I think it means many crows or many birds.
Many birds.
Oh, I think it's many crows though.
All right. Well, by the end of the show, you need to have looked that up.
I will. But anyway.
Yes. No. So we got the better of Wagga.
Oh, you got the. Got the dubs.
And then Wagga got the better of me. So
which watering holes you end up? One called the Crow or something?
We started at the Union and then we went from the Union to the Vic.
The Vic, that's the one. That's the stalwart in Wagga, isn't
well,
it?
Well, so we went from the Vic though and to this new place. Well, it was new to me anyway, called Cuba, Q-U-E.
All right, you had to line up.
It was like a hybrid hopscotch / moose / academy.
No wonder it did you in.
It was three different bars in one. Like, there were all these different bars in there. It was weird. It was awesome.
It had a disco bicky bar, a beer bar, and spirits bar.
Yeah, pretty much. But they were all on this upstairs level,
they're all in disco bicky territory, but just different bars in
it was entertaining. And then I left part of myself at Gundagai on the way home, so that one's not coming back.
Road to Gundagai,
very, very disappointing. The head coach was a bit of a letdown, unfortunately, but anyway, we've moved on.
So you led by example and everyone
followed? Yeah, I was absolutely the worst.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So, it's not... Well, actually, no. There were two who probably weren't actually sober at that point in time.
Right.
And continued.
Should you have known better?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
100%. Anyway, that was my wonderful weekend. So, Monday was a very quiet day for me.
Right.
So it was no reconciliation.
So while I was wrestling with crocodiles, you were wrestling with pavement pizza and curbside quiche.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, what do we got this week, my friend? Well, we do the round 11 review.
Why don't you answer it?
Yeah, why not? Because, well, it's like there's only two of us, so I'll just keep going here.
Oh, anyway. Do we want to have a Fulzy update? He's in Africa still.
He's still done. In Africa. He didn't get eaten by a leopard. He ate zebra steaks.
Oh, okay.
Yep, had zebra steaks apparently 2 days ago. Other than that, he laughed at a joke about the Raiders being bad at football.
Right, so he's still in contact with the football world.
Yeah, he is. And we'll talk about that a little bit later when it gets to the tipping comp. What else we got? We got Ward 4. We do the round 12 preview. And we obviously do Origin because it's time to talk series predictions, game one, and everything else to do with Origin. But before all that, let's start with the news.
The good, the bad, and the...
Seggy.
From the trenches.
Old Seggiaro. And James Seggiaro.
Seggy the Dreggy.
It took him 2 weeks before he got himself into some trouble. He got done for a low-range drink driving charge. The problem with this is it was under 0.05, so it wouldn't technically be no charge at all. However, he's on his P's, which means he's on zero, which means he was disqualified from driving straight away.
Why is he on his P's?
I don't know.
Never had a license before or got it taken off him and he's just getting it back?
I don't know.
Vote for the latter. I don't know, but I'll vote for the latter.
Yeah, it is probably the latter. So apparently it was a following morning issue and the morning after, and so it just goes to show that you're not quite right, you shouldn't be behind the wheel.
Should have spoke to Gregory, he would have told him.
Well, yes, exactly. Brisbane have not torn up his contract. They've told the integrity unit and they're coming up with a punishment. It may mean he sits out a game, but if he sits out a game, McCulloch's rumoured to be back in round 13, so that probably might be the end of his Brisbane Broncos stint.
His little cameo, one try, one DUI,
done. Exactly. Second story, we've got St. George Illawarra have received $239,000 dispensation to sign a player due to Jack DeBellin's current suspension pending the outcome of his court case.
So I take it by that he's no chance of coming back this year at all?
At all. His case isn't being heard again until next year.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I believe. Is it next year?
I thought it was later this year, but maybe
it's July this
maybe
year.
Maybe it's by this stage they're just thinking...
Possibly. I can't remember.
Yeah, so $239,000 is the exact amount of money as of right now that he is... So that means...
He was on about $575,000, which is probably a bargain deal at the time, considering he played Origin last year. But
So that means that the money kicks in right now, so they've got to find someone... Are they playing this weekend?
ASAP.
They're not playing this weekend. So they've got...
Rumours are Trent Merrin.
Yes, coming back from England.
And so he's on a 4-year deal at Leeds. I can't see Leeds letting him out of a 4-year deal.
And
I can't see it happening.
No, and he comes back to fill in for a year, and then do the Dragons have the money to give him another couple of years contract?
He'd have to go somewhere else.
Oh, that'd be silly.
Exactly.
I mean, you've already made the decision. You've moved the family over. I'm assuming he's got...
He's not happy.
Well... Suck it up for 4 years. You're going to...
Well, I don't know why you signed a 4-year deal in the first place. Sign a 2-year deal.
I know. You know why?
Big money.
Cash.
Yeah, exactly.
So take 4 years out. The problem is with when these players aren't happy, the family is not happy. The family's not settling in. Normally, that's what it is.
Correct.
Because the player would be like, well, it's only 4 years. You know, they're doing the same thing as what they were doing before when they were here. It's the family that has to, you know, change everything and then... move away from their support systems and all that sort of stuff. So it's a bit tough, but 4 years, but you make a big, fair bit of coin, then you come back and buy a house in, I don't know.
The Gold Coast?
Queanbeyan, wherever you want to buy.
Okay. Well, I don't think anyone's doing that. Anyway, look, that's probably about all we got for stories this week. We want to bust through and get to Origin, so let's move on.
Oh, I haven't teed up the Ward 4. Do we have Ward 4 or no?
Yeah, we're going to Ward 4. Okay. Like, what are you doing?
I was conversing with you.
No, we were done. There was nothing else to say about that. All right, let's do Ward 4 then, shall we?
Smashing me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
Good reading the run sheet as well, by the way. Are we doing World 4? No, it's like it's thought, literally in
I
front
thought
of
no one got injured. It was a
it was
magic rare.
Like the Immaculate Conception, the Immaculate injury free round.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We've got Dean Ware has a grade 2 hamstring tear. He might be out for up to 6 weeks. Wonga Blake has a knee injury. To be confirmed how long he's out for. Brad Parker has a broken jaw. Played most of the match with a broken jaw. 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, right. I didn't really even realise. I watched that whole game and he didn't come off at all.
No, he stayed on the whole game pretty much. And it was like that for 60 minutes or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Shows how tough he is. Matt Scott has a shoulder injury. He's out for 3 weeks. Jussie O did damage to his spleen in the game against Canberra. He's to be confirmed how long he's out for, but he had surgery on Sunday in Canberra. He's not leaving Canberra till the end of this week.
Oh, he's still in hospital. Maybe we should go and visit him. If Fulsey was here, he would have.
Fulsey probably would have. He probably would have visited Jussie O. He loves Jussie O. Danny Levi, he's out with an ankle injury for 6 weeks. Mitchell Pearce has a groin injury. He's out until round 13, which is lucky they have the bye anyway. James Graham has a fractured fibula. He's out for 8 weeks. They thought it was a hip injury. He was going to try to come back, and then they figured out that it was actually a fractured fibula.
So, where's fibula's down below your knee, isn't it?
I believe so.
So, how they thought he had a hip injury?
I don't know. It looked like he had a hip injury.
I think they need to get new physios anyway. And new doctors in that spot.
Tim Lafay has syndesmosis, the dreaded syndesmosis. He's to be confirmed.
That's season over.
Yeah,
well, that's career.
that's life.
That's career. But
just wrap it up, like... Let's euthanize him now. Josh Hodgson has a broken thumb. He's out to round 17. And Yaz Tavadja, favorite of the show, 3 weeks ankle sprain.
What about Reynolds? What happened to him?
He's fine.
He thought it was a broken. They thought it was a hip injury.
They did think it was a hip injury. They thought it was a broken leg, and it turned out to be nothing.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, what is with these doctors?
Anyway, they can't get it right.
Yeah,
but that's good. The end of World 4. Let's move on then, shall we?
I'm ready.
The Sports Trench.
Thank you, madam.
Boom.
Thursday, 23 May, Panthers 16 defeating the Eels 10. Muffy, we did this last week, but we'll just do a quick recap of how bad it was.
Well, basically, this started the round of upsets.
It did.
As you said, touched on it briefly last week. Parramatta scored early with Sivo. Didn't score again for the rest of the game, or didn't cross the line. Got a couple of penalty goals. It was 10-8 to Parramatta at halftime. Again, scrappy game, a lot of penalties. Both sides had trouble holding onto the ball in this one. Nathan Cleary did his origin favours. No harm with his performance. Steered them around the park, scored the winning try. And again, it was a game of fortune and misfortune. We mentioned that
Fergo
was in the centres. Oh. That was probably the reason why he didn't get called up.
Correct.
And then Cleary had a winning performance and played okay. He didn't play.
Adam Reynolds was way better than him.
He didn't play out of his skin, but he did enough. And yeah, so obviously that performance saw him get over the line. And I think Ferguson, shift to the centres was the nail
in the coffin. Yeah, absolutely, totally agree. Moving on then, shall we? By the way, what were you on after this first game of the round on your footy tips?
Zero.
Yeah, me too.
Duck All right, egg.
Moving on, next one. Mm-hmm. Friday, 24 May, Titans 36 defeating the Sea Eagles 18. Look, this was a pretty high-scoring affair. Manly looked way better and were on top early, 12-0, two long-range tries. Then the wheels absolutely fell off. Titans started throwing the ball around. They looked way more dangerous of the two teams. Dale Copley got over untouched pretty much for 3 tries and was on fire. Some bad reads by Ruben Garrick. There were 2 really bad reads by him. He was horrendous.
Was it the second try or the third try from Copley, the pass that Taylor fired out there, cut out about 4 people?
I believe it was the second. No, it might have been the first one.
Was it?
The first
one he floated it, and it was just, it was awesome. Like, Copley was 10 metres off the ball when it was thrown and literally ran right onto it, hit him in the chest.
It was perfect. It was great. Yeah.
Ash Taylor had a good game in this
one. He did have a very good game. After probably copping a fair bit of justified criticism about his performance so far this year. Look, they did score some lucky tries, the Titans. They had a couple of kicks that sort of fell into hands. Copley, one of Copley's ones sort of fell into his hands. However, the tail of the tape was 57% possession for the Titans, 69% completion for Manly. They had 13 errors and 9 penalties, Manly. Can't win a football game like that. Wallace and Futiaki both had over 200 metres. I can't say his name. Futakai, whatever he is.
Yep.
$2 Tyrone. 2 tries, 2 try assists, 2 line breaks, 2 tackle busts. You add all of that up and he's $8 Tyrone. He had 545 kick metres as well.
850.
Look, okay, 850. I'm happy to go with $8.50 Tyrone.
Okay, good.
After this game, what were you on your footy tips?
Still Duck Egg.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Moving on then, Friday 24 May. I reckon the answer's probably going to be the same here too. Knights 38, defeating the Roosters 12. On to you, my friend.
26,000 people up there at Newcastle witnessed an absolute Knights classic. They played extremely well.
They were all over these guys. They were up for this.
They were 100% up for this. And look, last week I tipped the Roosters, but I said... I wouldn't be surprised.
You wouldn't be surprised. You did,
but I only tipped the Roosters by 4. I did not think it'd be an absolute shellacking.
No,
like it was.
I did. I said you're wrong, and I was very wrong.
So tries for Heimel Hunt, Kalen Ponga, Mitchell Pearce, Connor Watson, and Edric Lee. Tried a Tedesco, and Takiaho got one in the end to make it to get the Roosters to 12. Otherwise, it would have been a bigger scoreline than what it was. Standout players for this game.
Mitchell Pearce
and Callum.
And he got the Daily M votes, and he's now leading the Daily M.
Wow.
If Mitchell Pearce gets the Daily M, I'm quitting. However, having said that, Mitchell Pearce is the ultimate club footballer, as in the ultimate, I am going to dominate at club level, but once I get to anything that's a little bit tougher, I am weak as water.
True. Very true. So, look, this was a... this was a good game, but the Roosters, it went downhill for the Roosters. Obviously, Cooper Cronk was a scratching, and from all reports, was probably a healthy scratching.
He was.
Kiri then got the sense knocked out of him in the third minute, I think it was.
Pretty much destroying his origin chances.
Didn't come back on, and so obviously Mitchell started. I think Mitchell was the one that started at 5'8".
He did. And Brock Lamb came on.
Brock Lamb came on later, so that was their halves, which...
It's not great.
Not great, particularly when you've got, you know, on the other side, you've got, Pearce playing well. Connor Watson was in there as well, but Mann was in the 5'8 role. Look, the Knights were great. They had a good win, and after this game, they were fourth on the table.
They are fourth on the table.
Are they still fourth now?
Still fourth. The Raiders lost to the Cowboys.
What a difference. Well, about six weeks ago,
we were
thinking that they were going to be spoon contenders, and now they're in the top four. So.
Yeah, and we were writing off Brisbane too, and both of those sides have come good.
So, look, long story short, great win for the Knights. Huge, huge boost for them. And look, the Roosters just were never in this.
What were you on after you tipped this game?
Duck Egg.
Yeah, me too. Saturday, 25 May, Cowboys 22, defeating the Raiders 16. One word to describe this, disappointing. Elliot Whitehead has come out and said the Raiders weren't ready to play, which is not great to hear considering the two tough losses to two quality sides the previous 2 weeks. Cowboys were in front for most of this, most of the first half, and for the majority of the game. The Raiders' attack just again struggled to put on points. Lolo had 251 metres, 34 tackles. He was back to his rampaging best, and he's starting to look dangerous again. Raiders are struggling without some key guys, but it's only going to get worse now with Origin because we've got a couple that have been picked for it. They've just been very disappointing at the moment, and so I don't know, considering the guys that are out, about $4 million worth of our starting squad is out at the moment.
Well, yeah, so it's not a good position to be in, and that's, what, 3 losses in a row now for the Raiders?
Correct, and we're now down to 5th on the ladder, and there's a bunch of teams coming at the moment, including the one in the next game. Anyway, what were you on after this one?
Another zilch.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right, moving on. Saturday, 25 May, Broncos 8 defeating the Warriors 2. Muffy.
Oh, what a barnstormer this was, Pete. Absolute barnstormer. 2-2 at halftime.
Yep.
And it was only 2-2 because it was a penalty goal from Jermaine Azarco right on the halftime buzzer. Only scoring points in this was Milford getting over the line in the 60th minute to basically get the Broncos up to 8-2, which is where the score finished.
I've got a stat for you, by the way, at the end of this.
Yep. Oh, you want? Oh, okay. I'll
do you
keep
want
going.
It now?
No, I'll keep going, yeah, and then right. you. I'll go throw a few stats out. You come in later.
Yeah.
This was probably one of the most even games on the stat sheet that you could find. Time of possession was literally split by 10 seconds.
Right, yep.
Completion rates were 70% each. The all runs were split by two runs. All run meters, there's only about 100 in it. So as the score suggests, it was a tight game. It was played in some, you know, trying conditions as well over there across the ditch. And again, I think this weekend, winter has hit this weekend, which
absolutely
could definitely impacted some of the games. But yeah, look, the Broncos, what's that? Is that three in a row for the Broncos now?
Four in a row for the Broncos.
Four in a row for the Broncos. Mm. So yes, give me your stat and then give me your stat on how many you earn, your tipping you're on after this game.
Look, first of all, I was on zero after the tipping. Let's just get that out of there.
Same.
You?
Same.
Yeah, good. Yep. 66% of the teams that took the two this weekend to start lost.
66%. It's coming down.
66 that took the two to start lost.
Yeah, so it doesn't happen every time. It's in there.
I was just giving you a stat. Anyway.
Is that actually true?
They're the three that I know.
Oh, okay.
I think there was only those three, to be honest. I think there was only those three, but I can't recall. Mm. All right, moving on. Saturday, 25 May. Rabbitohs 32, defeating the Tigers 16. South, again, were never behind in this game. Nofaluma came into the side late with Moses Mbai pulling out with an injury. Thompson then moved to fullback with Nofaluma on the wing, and he made the most of his opportunity, Nofo. Adam Reynolds had a penalty goal to start, but then this is one of the games
this
where...
Is a, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the other...
This is the 33%.
This is the 33%,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, as always.
Anyway, Cam Murray had two tries, followed by Reynolds scoring as well before the Tigers could get into gear. Cam Murray had two tries for the match, but he had the first of his two tries. Adam Reynolds then left the field with a suspected fractured foot/hip. The Tigers then pounced and got a couple of quick tries to themselves, including a brilliant one to Corey Thompson. That was a great crash through the line.
Yep.
Good ball. It was excellent. Damian Cook then masterclass in the second half. He just took over without Reynolds and just made everyone look stupid.
He's just...
Coming into form, he's in perfect time of
he's
year.
He's in ridiculous form.
He's been
form.
Playing well, but he's just come into like
it's crazy how well he just can put the game on his back. And he's fast, but everyone knows he's going to do it. But he still does it with
can't
ease.
Can't stop it. Yeah,
he's he's phenomenal. And his ball playing and his kicking has improved out of sight this year.
It has.
Out of sight.
It's always been good, but
his kicking game particularly has been fantastic this year.
Yeah, he has been absolutely killing it. For the Tigers, Madison was actually very good. He had 154 metres and 40 tackles. Nofaluma, 210 metres, 3 offloads, 6 tackle busts, which gives Maguire a nice little headache moving forward because...
Why is he not there in the first place?
Well...
How's he been on the outer for so long?
I believe he'd eaten everything for a while back Reece Martin and...
Reece Martin wasn't big though. Don't get me started on that, Pete.
And so I think that was an issue. And now I think Robert Jennings could be in some trouble. Robert Jennings? Which Jennings is there?
It is Robert, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's Robert.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Georgia and Michael are at Para. Robert's the other one. Is there a fourth one?
Is Robert at Parramatta?
No, that's George. It's George and Michael are at Parramatta. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. There could be another one. But
there might be a fourth one.
Bill Jennings.
Makes sense. Yeah. Anyway. Look, for Cook, he had one try, one line break, two try assists, two line breaker six assists, and 48 tackles of the 49. So he missed one tackle for the match.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, unbelievable. Murray.
How was he not head of Dally M points?
I don't know. Murray had two tries, 147 metres and 43 tackles.
Yeah, he was pretty good too.
Yeah, he was excellent. Anyway, now what were we on tipping after this? Yeah,
raise the flag for this one.
Yeah, one out of six. Yeah. We're doing well. Anyway. All right, moving on then to Sunday, 26 May. Storms, 28, defeating the Bulldogs, 6. Murphy, what the hell? The Belmore hoodoo continues.
Yeah, then they haven't been great at Belmore in the last, 4 years, and they take a game there.
And it's always a Storm. Don't take the Storm. Take someone rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't keep playing the Storm at Belmore. Like, this is dumb.
Anyway, 13,000 people packed into Belmore. The weather was a little bit dodgy at the end, but still, 13,000 on that suburban ground is pretty much capacity, I think. Look, the scoreline doesn't really reflect the game. This was
Reflect the game. Oh,
this
was
this is a tougher game than what the scoreline was. I mean, it was only one try in the first half from the Storm. It was 8-0 at halftime. The Dogs got it back to 6-0, and then the Dogs got it back to 14-6. And then a couple of penalty goals in the middle in that sort of 60-minute mark got the Storm sort of just kicked their way ahead. And then in the last 10 minutes, the Dogs just sort of run out of puff. And two quick tries to Chambers and Solomona got them to 28-6. But it was, again, it wasn't a great performance by either team handling-wise. There was a lot of errors. There was penalties. Wasn't a great performance. But, again, the Dogs lost another one. But it was obviously a bit more of a blowout than their last game against the Storm. But the Storm are just doing enough, but I don't think the Storm have been that impressive in the last month. I haven't, apart from that absolute shellacking, which was a one-off against Parramatta, they haven't been super impressive, and I think they are definitely beatable in those top four teams. I think they're going to have their work cut out to.
I think there's only one legitimate team though at the moment.
Oh, without a doubt, South Sydney is all over everybody.
Like, the only game they lost was to the Storms?
The Roosters, wasn't it?
Maybe it was the Roosters.
That was the first round, wasn't
it? Yeah. So, I thought they beat the Roosters and then lost to the Storms.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
And then I think the Storms lost to the Roosters.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Anyway, that was that early start of the year, but I think Souths are far and away the best team in the competition. I think everyone's chasing them.
Agreed.
All right, moving on then. Sunday, 26 May, Sharks 22 defeating the Dragons 9.
Just before you get into that tipping update.
Look, I was 2 now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there Same. We go. I didn't tip your Bulldogs at Belmore.
Not at Belmore.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, moving on then. The return of Matt Moylan for the Sharks, and with the return of him, they looked like a much better squad. Dugan then moved to the wing, but it wasn't for very long because Dugan went off nice and early after himself and Frizzell had a really sickening head clash.
And they both hit the deck. Well, Frizzell was out.
Yeah.
Dugan was sort of doing what Dugan does. He was still hurt, but he goes down anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Frizzell was out. Done. Yeah.
It was really bad, and they both were gone for the rest of the game, which had a surprise move with Capewell going to the wing, and he was really good on the wing.
Did you see that try that he... Well, he didn't score it, but he should have scored it.
No, but he created it for Jerry to score. It was awesome.
I thought it was Jerry chasing it down at first.
No, yeah, so did I.
It was quick.
He's apparently he's played in the reserves on the wing.
He
is good. Yeah. I like him.
I do like him. The more
I see of him, like I always thought, he's a bit of a middle journeyman. But more I see of him.
I love them middle guys.
The more I see of him, the more I really like him. Like, he could be a cult hero. I love that Queensland's got him in their squad.
I was going to say, I'm going to jump the gun. Like, if you want a utility bench player, look no further.
Well, that's...
look no further than
like
that
He's like the
guy.
19th man, I believe, at the moment. We'll get to that. Anyway, look, for the Dragons, they took the two early. This is the other one, Muffy.
Mm.
That'll do you in.
And what's this rubbish of a field goal at halftime? What is this crap?
Well, put them up.
Yeah, by one. Guess what?
They didn't score again. No, they didn't. Anyway, Ben Hunt then bombed a certain try, diving to over the line and just dropped it over the line. Classic Ben Hunt. Bronson Jerry crossed for 3 tries, and he was absolutely on fire.
Oh, you know, I was looking to do something in fantasy because I was behind, and I thought about it. I didn't have any other options, but in hindsight,
should have done it. Where was hindsight, man, on that one? Mm. Anyway, look, in more bad news for the Dragons, they lost James Graham as well. They also lost Tim Laffey. They had one person left on the bench, so whilst Capewell had to move to the wing for the Sharks. For the Dragons, Reece Robson, the backup hooker, he had to play lock for nearly 60 minutes. Host moved to the centres. Jacob Host, who normally plays prop second row.
Yeah, right.
Well, lock second row. He moved to the centres. Leilua played 54 minutes after normally plays about 20 to 30. And so this was just tough for the Dragons. Cam McInnes, he looked awesome. And probably in any other era, he's probably playing Origin the way he's been playing.
He hasn't been horrible.
He's been very good the last couple of years, but, you know, when Damien Cook's in front of you and playing the way he is, you're just not going to get a look in. Dragons have now lost 5 in a row. They're in big, big trouble. Sharks, They still have Johnson, Graham, Woods all to come back in the next 3 weeks.
They've done all right to do what they've done in the last.
I would put money on them winning it. I reckon their value.
Okay, that's a fair point.
I reckon their value at this point in time. Yeah. They might not, but you might get a good cash out offer. I think they're about $12 at the moment.
Okay.
And I think they could be a sneaky second to South type situation.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind it. Don't mind it at all.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. That brings us to the end of the round 11 review. I love it.
Going old school.
Yeah, you're going very old school.
In affectionate remembrance. Oh, let's stop it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Going into the reminiscing.
Well, you've definitely failed there. It was a good start, and then it all went to crap. Classic us. So, we're going to talk about the Origin squads. Now, we talked about our sides last week. So, what we're going to do is discuss the debutants and their merits. So, I thought we'd go with New South Wales first with the 5 debutants.
Yes.
And then we'll go with the Queensland ones, and then we'll go on to team discussion, who can win, why, et cetera. So, I thought we'd start with New South Wales. So, I'm going to start with probably the biggest one and the one that Muffy was championing the most, Cody Walker. Look, deserves his spot, even though it came at Kiri's expense.
Has that been confirmed that Kiri was definitely in apart from that concussion?
Look, that's been the talk the whole way through.
It stops that selection headache.
It does,
I think in the last month it deserved that on his merits. Like he was better than Kiri in the last month. It may be a line ball throughout the entire, first 10, 11 rounds of the season, but... Oh, yeah, 100%. He's a game breaker. He's an absolute game changer.
Look, if you were going to pick Walker, though, instead, then pick Reynolds and go with that full South spine. That would have been my
side. If Walker was in, then Reynolds, for me, was automatically the one to go.
Anyway, he absolutely just deserves his spot. He's been on fire, and if I'm the Maroons, I'm probably a little bit scared of him because he is an absolute game breaker. And if you've got him and Latrell Mitchell on the same side of the field, holy moly, I'd be worried.
I do like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on then to the next one, which starting wing, Nick Kotrick. What are your thoughts?
Well, I had him in my side.
Last week.
To be honest, was surprised that Ferguson didn't get that wing spot. But maybe there's just some...
Ferguson's been bad since that injury. That's true. Struggled.
And I think there's still maybe a bit of culture issue that they don't want to introduce those guys back into the team. I wouldn't be surprised if that played a little bit against him. But I did have him in the side because I think he can handle it. He's still only, 20 or 21? It'll be a good learning curve on the wing. I think he'll get in and hopefully has a solid game. I don't think he needs to do too much. He just needs to, do his normal wing play he does for the Raiders, come in, take some hit-ups, stick out there and finish the ball when it comes to him. So
I've got some concerns about him defensively. He has a tendency to come in sometimes when he shouldn't and leave those wings open. And good wingers like Dane Gagai and Corey Oates expose that.
Is he on Josh Morris's side? Or is he going to be on the other side?
Kotrick's a left winger.
So he's going to be on the other side.
So, which is Corey Oates' side, because Corey Oates is a right winger.
So he'll have Mitchell next to him.
Yeah, which is not good.
Which is not good. If he had Josh Morris next to him, then it might be a little better.
Yeah, the two of them. Well, hopefully he's on the other side. Hopefully he's looked at that, but I don't think so.
No, I think he's on the left. They've named him on the left.
It is very worrying from my perspective. Look, I think he can do a job. Do you want a player who can just do a job? Is he just holding a spot until Tabojevic is back? The rumor was Tabojevic was going to play centers. I think that's a waste because Tabojevic was one of your best meter eaters last year.
Yeah. Either way, if Tabojevic is fit for game 2, he's in the back line somewhere.
Yeah, I don't.
He's not sitting.
I don't
want to
put him in the centres though. Like, I think you're wasting him.
Well, true, but he's definitely coming into this
team. Correct. He's coming in somewhere. We just don't know where.
Yeah.
Maybe it's for Jack White, and we'll get to that. Next one, Payne Huss. Personally, I think this is awesome because he might be the second most damaging forward I've seen this year. The only one more damaging than him to start the year was Taumalolo. And outside of him, this guy is just an absolute animal and can play big minutes and just has a motor. And so the thing is, he's only probably going to play maybe 40 minutes at Origin.
Yeah.
He's going to kill someone. Like, someone's going to die. Like, he is a monster.
Yeah, look, I think it's... I mean, you called...
I'm very excited.
He had him in your team last week. I went for a bit more sort of experience, but looking at his stats and what he's done, you know, he's only played... What's he played?
10 NRL games. 10.
Yeah, but this year he's only played... He missed like the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks, didn't he? Or 4 weeks or something.
He missed the first month.
Yeah.
So he's... But his whole career is like 10 or 9 NRL
games. So let's hope he can, you know... Because obviously everyone says it's a massive step up from NRL, so let's hope that he can handle it. But I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, coming off the bench though, like he's coming up against guys like, okay, Dylan Napa, him and Napa going against each other should be fireworks, I reckon.
Yeah,
that'll be really good because Napa's been really good this year. Yeah, I'm very excited for him. I think he's a great pick. The next one, similar to Huss, who demanded to be picked with form, Cam Murray,
love it. He was on my bench in my team. Yeah, I think he's a must-have player, and you don't want to keep using that cliche, but he looks like an Origin is very suited to his game.
He can sniff out a try. I'd be very worried about him.
He could tackle, like, if there was injuries in this forward pack and he had to play 80 minutes, he could do it on his ear.
Easily.
Big motor, tackles all day.
And he only plays 60 minutes at club usually, every week.
I think a smart pick and sensible pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we come on to Jack Whiten. I don't understand.
Waste of time. Waste of time for the simple fact. Is Jack Whiten an impact player off the bench? No. Is he a game breaker? No, he's not. What's he going to...
What's
he going to do? He can't play in the second row.
He can cover the centres and he can cover 5-8 and maybe a fullback if you absolutely had to, considering... With no Turbo, say Teddy goes down, for example, who are you going to put at the back there? Like,
well, to me, you
can't put Kotrick there.
No, to me, you probably should have Mitchell at the back there. Or
well, I don't think you can put Mitchell there either. I don't think he's safe enough. I think that's why Jack Whiten's there, in case Teddy, one of the centers, or one of your halves goes down.
But this...
I think it's a bad idea. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying this is the thinking.
I never understand this part of Origin... As in,
well, Queensland done the same thing. We'll get to that. But Queensland done the exact same thing.
I never understand why you name a team based on injury. I never get that.
No, me neither.
They don't do it. You don't do it in NRL. I just don't get it. For me, if you wanted to have an impact player on the bench, someone that was going to come on for 10 minutes and would have an impact in the game, Jack Whiten would be not even on the list that I would be looking at. For me, it's Cam McGuinness.
Why not have Cam McGuinness?
Well, exactly.
He's a hooker, but he can play in the second row. He has played in the second row before. Him and Cook both have when they've needed to.
Well, and that's the thing.
And now think about it. You got two dummy halves who are dangerous as all hell. Cook can go into the halves if you need.
Mm.
I think if you've got Trbojevic, I think you look at maybe a Cam McGuinness. Like, if you've got Trbojevic there, because he can cover the fullback. Cook can cover a half. You could probably move a Cody Walker into the centres or something like that if you had to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could move people around if you've got a second hooker on the bench who can play second row as well.
Yeah, I agree. I thought this selection was just mind-blowing. I didn't get it.
No, I don't get it. I still don't
because,
get it.
Because, again, he's not that versatile.
Yeah,
to me, he's not a utility player. He's a centre... A wing, possibly. Fullback, not really.
He's a center and he's a 5'8".
That's like, to me, that's not versatility.
No.
You know, Angus Crichton could do that.
It's not good.
He's a bigger unit, but he could fill that. Cameron Murray could fill a center spot if need be.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Anyway, yeah. No, it's not good. And then let's speak of another one. The return of the prodigal son, Muffy. Joshua Morris.
Well, I think it just was the only choice left. I mean, I love seeing he's back in there, and I definitely, you know, you never, he's not going to let the side down. You know what he can do. He's going to be solid in defense. He's lost. He doesn't have the pace that he used to have, but you know,
he had a couple of quick runs this year where
he's found the line a bit for the Sharks. He's played quite well there. Not disappointed in the selection whatsoever. It just seems that, yeah, they were, New South Wales are running out of right centres and they were very reluctant to put another left centre on that right side, it seemed.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's fair enough based on the information they had and the people they had out. I think if Joey Leilua doesn't get injured, he probably gets selected. He's a right centre and he's a pretty dangerous one at that.
Yeah, just the last point on the New South Wales side, I thought probably Jordan McLean was a bit unlucky to miss out on this. I think, looking at the team, I do like it, but I potentially think there might be one big man short on this team.
Who comes out, in your opinion?
Well, Jack Whiten comes out, in my opinion.
They're going to pick a utility no matter what. Who comes out? Personally, I think it's Paul Vaughan.
Probably Paul Vaughan, or maybe you don't. Cameron Murray doesn't get in this team.
Maybe.
But I hope that I'm wrong. But looking at it, but I suppose
considering all the forwards and the versatility in the forwards.
Trbojevic, Frizzell, they can all play sort of prop, lock. Cameron Murray obviously plays lock at club level.
And I think Trbojevic is going to go into the prop rotation when Murray comes on.
I can see that's I can see them doing that as well. But
so I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Trbojevic goes into prop, and
again, maybe they're banking on Payne Haas playing a lot more minutes.
He's going to play big minutes. He's a big unit. Yeah. He's
so maybe that's what they're banking on, his motor, and to get him through.
If I had to select either Payne Haas or Jordan McLean, I'm selecting Payne Haas. At this point in time.
Do you want to quickly touch on the reserves? What do you think?
Yeah, I was
good.
Look, Madison and Radley. Madison's been handy this year. Probably not as good as he was to start last year with the Roosters when he was on absolute fire.
It just smacks of Freddy's boys.
But, a little bit. I get the Victor Radley one, though.
To me, that'd make a lot more sense than Jack Whiten as their first.
Make a lot more sense as the utility player because he can play hooker, he can play lock, and you could probably put him out in the centres or something.
If need be, yeah. To me, that makes more sense.
He can play at any of the second row spots. So, it makes way more sense to have him. And I actually like Victor Radley. Like, he's playing hooker at the moment for that Rooster side and doing a good job. And he's not a hooker. He's not a natural hooker.
No, and he, he's not a small guy, but he can tackle. His defence is
yeah, he's
exemplary.
A big hitter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, look, I think he'd be a better choice. Madison, you're right. It probably does smack of Freddie's boys a little bit. Anyway. All right, moving on then to the Queensland debutants. For them, first one off the rank, and probably the one that is the most intriguing, Moses Mbai.
Yeah, obviously grabbed that utility spot on the bench in number 14. I don't hate it. I mean, he's been playing okay. He's obviously been the captain at the Tigers, so he's got a bit more of a leadership role, so maybe they like that in him as well, in his game. I don't know who else. I mean, I think putting Ben Hunt in at hooker, I think, is the right choice.
Correct.
I don't think he was would have been good on the bench. And, it was clearly a toss-up between Milford and Mbai, and they just thought that maybe Mbai
Mbai can probably cover hooker, whereas I don't think Milford really can.
Yeah.
I think Mbai has covered hooker before.
Possibly. But maybe they thought, look, Milford has been, quite out of form. He's had a couple of good games, but they've been very sporadic. The Broncos are starting to put it together. But, maybe they just thought it was time just to give Mbai a shot. Because, they're not going to have... they're not going to have great minutes at this number 14.
I was going to say, I just don't know what value he adds. Similar to Jack Whiten, I just don't know what value he adds.
Why I don't understand why they insist on picking utilities. I just don't understand it because, to me, It doesn't add.
Well, I think
it doesn't add value. I would rather put another forward or second row.
You got to pick a utility that's going to have an impact. Now, Peachy had an impact last year.
Yeah.
Now, he's not played well this year, and so I get that he's not in the side.
Yeah.
He's just had a bad year, and he's playing for a bad side as well, and he's just struggled a little bit. So I get why he hasn't been selected. But Craig Wing, for example, used to have an impact for New South Wales back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. Like, but he would come in at hooker, though.
Yeah, but he was a half, but he came in at hooker, and he was dangerous.
But like, none of these people are going to come in at hooker.
No, I know. I agree. So. Like, I know. That's why I said Cam McGuinness. Like,
yeah.
Make him your bench hooker who can play second row and stuff. Anyway. Second one, Joe Offahengawe.
Yeah, there was obviously a fair bit of talk around him before the selection. Played, you know, young forward, playing well. I mean,
he's not that far behind Huss. Like, I rate him very highly. He hasn't got as big a motor. Like, it doesn't go for as long as Huss does.
No.
But he runs real hard, and he's part of the reason for this turnaround of this Broncos side.
Well, you look at
him, Huss, Fifita, and Flegler.
Yeah.
Those are big young forwards. Well,
I was going to say, look at the benches for these two respective teams, and they've got three young Brisbane forwards. So yeah. It bodes well for Brisbane
and
in the
you know
in,
what,
in
if Pangai Jr. had of said he would play for New South Wales, he potentially was on the cusp. Now, he hasn't had a good couple of 6 weeks,
but again,
at the start of the year, he possibly was on that.
And there's, you know, that's a similar play. There's like someone with a big motor as well.
Yeah.
Like, he goes all day.
Yeah. So, look, yeah, I love it. I love this selection, a bit of a future selection, but it's also based on form, which I think you can say the same thing for David Fifita.
Yeah, I think they've both been thrown in at the same point there. And again,
but the thing for him is he can play centers, he can play second row. Like, he's probably play lock. Like, he's a big body.
I was going to say he's a big center, but yeah, I mean, he could do it. And
he's played center. He does play center for Brisbane quite often.
Does
like,
he?
Yeah.
He's a big unit, though.
He is a very big unit. Like, it's they've played him in the centers earlier on.
Like, Mal 2.0 in the centers.
Yeah, no, he's excellent as well. Super explosive, damaging player as well. I'd be very worried about him coming off the bench.
Mm.
18th man, Glasby.
Yeah,
didn't make it.
No, he didn't make it. I thought he would have, and I thought they may have looked at maybe one of those younger guys, Fifita or Offahengawe, as the 18th man, just to put a bit more experience on the bench. But look, Kevy's rolled the dice and was going to go with the two young debutants in the forwards. I think. Yeah, look, I don't think it's a bad choice. You know, game one will tell it whether it was, but it's a big occasion for these guys. I mean, that bench apart from Napa is completely untested, so yeah. it's a big ask and a bit of a gamble. But look, they're going into this as
fortune favors the brave.
Well, they're going this as big underdogs, but that has never stopped Queensland, and you know that's nothing that they're ever going to worry about. So I think they just back. They back their system, they back their team, and they back the players around them. So, you know, the rest of the side is a pretty solid and, you know, a pretty stable-looking side, particularly in their starting forwards. I think it's quite good.
Hmm.
Maguire's been named, so it looks like he will not have any injury concerns. And then, as you predicted, Pete Morgan has gone into the centres, which allows them to put Munster in.
Mate, you're preempting stuff.
I don't want to talk about
the debutants. Come on, mate. Jesus. All right, let's move on then, shall we, to why New South Wales can win and what they need to do to win. My thoughts on this are Cook, Walker, Tedesco, Haas, Mitchell. The five of them are game breakers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cook, Walker, Teddy, and Mitchell, those four definitely. But I think Haas is the X factor coming off that bench. And I think those five guys can be huge for New South Wales. The big men need to get rolling for the New South Wales pack because if they're not rolling and they let Queensland get on top, they will struggle. And finally, Cleary has to come up big. He really needs to manage the game, and his kicking game needs to be spot on because Walker's not a great kicker. Mm. Cook is a good kicker out of dummy half.
And I think that'll take a bit of pressure,
We've only got the two real kickers. Like, we don't have a fullback kicker or anything like that. So there's going to be a lot of pressure there on Cleary.
Yeah, that's, I think, true. The thing that they might do and they might sort of play around with a little bit is maybe getting Mitchell into a spot to do some kicking deep out of trouble. Maybe that might be an option. He might sort of shift into a second receiver if they're in trouble in their 30-40 metre line.
Yeah.
Do that, but I think majority of the kicking should be done and probably will be done by Cleary.
Yeah. Yeah, so which is the dangerous thing. Like, Cody Walker can, but he's not noted as the number one kicker. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure on Cleary. So I think that's what New South Wales need to do to win. Queensland, what do they need to do to win, and why they can win, Muffy?
Well, I think what they need to, like, Kalyn Ponga for them is their game breaker. They need to get him involved in everything. Attack.
He scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, he's. I think he is. He's the X factor of the universe at the moment. That guy. He's. Yeah. It'll be great to see him and Cody Walker, if they can produce their club form into this game. It will be sensational.
Correct.
Yeah. For me, the experience that they've got in the backs from seven through to one.
That back line's a scary back line.
It's good. It's very good, particularly when you've got guys like Morgan playing out of position. But you know, he'll do well. He might adopt the Will Chambers kicking method on every chance he's near the line. So that could be handy.
He'll be better at it than Will Chambers, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I think definitely the downside for Queensland is their bench. But again, because it's untested. Not because I don't think that they're talented. It's just untested, and it's a big arena to come in. And this game, Sydney this first game, or is it up in Queensland?
Is this one in Perth, I believe?
I think I'm to Perth.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
I think they took one to Perth.
Oh, okay. Well,
then it's maybe Suncorp, and then it's New South Wales.
I was
going
to say, because they finished in Queensland last year, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think we took one to Perth. I think the first one's in Perth.
Yeah, so for me, it's the backs for Queensland, which I think, you know, looks scary on paper.
Yeah, for me, it's DCE as the captain. If DCE, Munster, Ponga all have monster series, look the hell out. Like, those three are genuine game breakers. Munster is legitimately the six for Australia. Like, I know Cody Walker's been good.
Yeah.
Munster's still better.
He's stronger, he's bigger.
Yeah, and more experience. And on the end of that is Corey Oates. That guy can find the line. He is a phenomenal winger, and I would be very worried about him, particularly if he's going up against Kotrick. I think he's going to eat Kotrick for breakfast. I think he is just much smarter and much better.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a very worrying thing. For Queensland, I think if they can stick around in games early whilst the heat is on from New South Wales and do what they normally do, I think they can come over the top of them and beat them at the end of the match, particularly if they're putting on that constant line pressure and New South Wales kicking game wilts.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, that Queensland will tackle everything. They will defend their line like their lives depend on it. You know it's not going to be easy for New South Wales to get over. So they've got to be organised and they've got to click.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well then, predictions for the series and for game one. Let's go game one first.
Well, it's in Perth. What's the point of that? look, game one, Queensland will be massive underdogs. New South Wales will fancy themselves with this team. I will tip New South Wales for the first game. I think it's going to be tight.
Suncorp. Suncorp's round one. Perth is round two. So we took.
Oh, so they go.
And then ANZ's three. So.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. Well, that changes. Am I going to tip against New South Wales? That changes everything because Queensland.
At Queensland is much tougher.
Absolutely. In first game in, and particularly when you've got, you know, debutants going into this, and then, you know, in saying that, Cleary's only had one series under his belt. Look, I'll still go New South Wales, but I think this will be a very tight affair, and it'll be by 2 points. It'll be very close.
Look, I've gone New South Wales by four in a very low-scoring affair in game one, traditionally is. I'd love to see it broken open by some of those game breakers we talked about, but I don't see it happening. It'll be a feeling out period for both sides. If Queensland won the game, it wouldn't surprise me though, because up there and
as soon as if they get a sniff of momentum, correct. Then that will be the end of New South Wales.
Correct, absolutely.
Which can happen at any point.
Series
for this Queensland time. Let's go New South Wales 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too.
I don't think it'll be. I think it's very difficult to clean sweep.
It is very difficult to clean sweep. I think they're going to go 2-1. But I think it's going to be 1-1. I reckon Queensland will get the one in Perth. And then I reckon it'll go back to New South Wales and New South Wales will win at home.
Yep.
In the decider. But it's very hard to win two in a row from that being down 1-0. So New South Wales need to be wary of that.
Yeah, well, I think, was it only three teams have ever done it? Three series have ever been won with the first team losing or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. All right, that brings us to the end of our Origin preview.
Oh, hang on. I got to do a little thing, don't I?
Yes, you do. Let's hope so. Anyway.
We're at 55 minutes, Pete. That sound good to you?
Yep.
You don't want to talk?
The Sports Trench.
What are you doing? I thought you were editing that. What are you doing?
No, I was getting a sweeper for you.
Jeez, I don't know. Anyway, all right, round 12 preview time. Thursday, 30 May. Panthers versus Seagulls at Panthers. Muffy.
Oh, this is me. Hang on.
Oh, goodness gracious me. You are useless.
Oh, okay. So, only four games this week, and with Origin, there is going to be some changes. So, the Panthers this week, Dean Ware and Wonga Blake are both out, as Pete mentioned. So, Isaiah Yeo comes back in. He decided not to have surgery on that shoulder. So, let's see how that does. Brenton Naden is the new name in the centres. So James Maloney is back after his suspension last week, so he'll come in at halfback. Regan Campbell-Gillard will come into the starting side as well for this team. And who is replacing? Who's the dude replacing? Oh, Jerome Lalua is replacing Maloney at 5'8". For the Seagulls, Corey Waddell starts at lock instead of Jack Trbojevic. Garrick comes into the centres for the injured Brad Parker. Abs Mitski, he's been named on the wing. That'll be his second game in first grade. Taniela Pasaki moves up to the bench. Joel Thompson will captain the side in Cherry Evans' absence as well. Again, these games are going to be tough to pick. There's a lot of outs. Penrith, this one is at the foot of the mountains again. They won there last week, only just. Manly's playing well, but
it was
without
Bank
some
West last week, wasn't it?
Was it Parramatta? Yeah, wasn't it at the foot of the mountain? Okay, I'm going to still go the Seagulls. I just think their forward pack has still got a fair bit of grunt with Siren and Thompson, Fanua Blake, and Marty Tapau, of course. So I'm going to stick with Manly.
Go on the Panthers by four.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
This could be another.
Yeah,
it could be 4-0 or
0-4.
0-4.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Friday, 31 May, Eels versus Rabbitohs at Bankwest. For the Eels, there's a heap of changes. Tim Manor, Takarangi, Alvaro, and George Jennings have all been dropped to the reserves. Michael Jennings returns in the centres. Hoffman switches to the right centre, and Fergo's back to the wing. Kane Evans starts at prop. Ma'u moves back into the back row with Nakore dropping to the bench and Tepoi Moroa starting at lock. For the Rabbitohs, Adam Dewey starts in the centres. For Gagai, Connor Tracy starts at 5'8 for Walker. Billy Britton's
in.
He's in. He'll start at hooker for Cook. And Totola moves to lock to cover for Murray with Bailey Sirenen coming onto the bench. Oh, God. I don't know what to do here. I'm going to go the Eels in an upset by two. Like,
same. I'm tipping the Eels.
They've been horrendous, but there's a lot of outs here. Who knows?
And like, again, the outs for the Eels are because of a shake-up, not because of Origin.
Guess what's going to happen? Rabbitoh's going to win by 20 because Reynolds is just going to carve up. Reynolds and Burgess are still there, and they're both very good at football.
They are very good at football, but as always, when a team has a massive shake-up like this, something always happens, and it normally happens for the good. So I'm going to back Parramatta by six.
Yeah, I got them by two, but I don't believe it. Friday, 24 May, Bulldogs versus Raiders at ANZ. Muffy.
Yeah, so the Dogs have only made changes based on their Origin contingent, so they haven't made sweeping changes. So Afiki Ogden will come in, start at prop for Dylan Napa, who's off playing for Queensland. Raymond Fatala-Mariner comes back into the fray after being exiled to reserve grade for pretty much the whole year. Lachlan Lewis is still not there. Adam Elliott and Kieran Holland still did not make it. They're in the reserves. And Rhys Martin will again start and jump at number 14 on the bench and probably play 10 minutes. And so for the Raiders, they've actually had a few outs. So Stewart's going to have to make some changes. So Kotrick's out, Whiten's out, Papali, and Josh Hodgson's out with a broken thumb. Sebastian Chris comes in to play second NRL game. He will replace Kotrick. Aiden Caesar will play his first game since, what, the first game of the year, I think?
So, round two, maybe.
Yeah, so he comes in at 5'8 for Whiten. The red nut, Corey Horsburgh, moves into Papali's starting prop position. Havili will come in at lock for the injured Hodgson. Tom Starling makes his debut as well. And Hudson Young will go to lock. If the Dogs are going to get the Raiders, now's the best time to get them.
Yeah, look,
I'm still not confident that Dogs can do anything.
I'll tip the Raiders by two. That's a heart bet. It's not a head bet at all.
Dogs.
I think the Dogs should win this game.
They're not.
Honestly.
They're not. They haven't been upset too much. I'm going to go the Dogs by six, just because I think the Raiders have had.
I think the Dogs should get them.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders have got a lot of people out in pretty key
positions. So. I've just tipped with my heart. That's all I can say. Anyway, all right, moving on. Saturday, 25 May, Titans versus the Cowboys at Cbus Super. The Titans are unchanged for the Cowboys. Morgan and Maguire are out through Origin. Scott and O'Neill are injured. So Mitchell Dunn moves from the back row to the center position. Clifford comes in at halfback. Bolton moves into the prop position. And Cohen Hess returns from injury. And Corey Jensen comes on to the bench. I'm going to go to the Titans by six. I think there's too many outs for the Cowboys. And $8.50 Tyrone was really good last week.
Yeah, I think the Titans will be buoyed by that win last week. And, yeah, the Cowboys are missing Morgan.
Which whenever we believe in the Titans, they go to crap again and they lose a bunch of games.
And, again, it is at Cbus Super Stadium, which I don't think they've got the best record at their home ground.
No, but anyway, but we're still going to tip it.
Look, if Ash Taylor can play like he did last week, then they're every chance. So I'm going to go the Titans by six.
All right, that brings us to the end of the Round 12 preview. Only the four games this week, which means then we're on to the Supercoach review and a quick one.
Trenches Fantasy Overview.
All right, let's bust this out. League One, the Pablos beat Still Thinking. The Burninators beat Barbecue for One. Chuck Person beat Call Me Big Puppy. And he didn't even have a full side, Chuck Person. He's in Africa, for crying out loud. So Big Puppy needs to lift. And the B Trench Invaders beat Slippery Balls in a tight one. That was a great sentence that I put together. I enjoyed it a lot. League Two, the Pablos beat Hungry Nuts. Tokoroa Waterfall snuck home against Barbecue for One. 4 points.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Son of a...
The Hot Snakes beat Chuck Person. And the Bee Trench Invaders beat... Dun-dun-dun! Yeah. So that was the league results. The ladder at the moment, Arkham's Inmates in League One leads with 8-1. B Trench Invaders 7-2. Rangers is just killing it this year. 6-3 from third to ninth, which includes Chuck Person. And in a gentleman's 14th and 15th, Pablo's and Barbecue for One with both 3-6 records.
That's a tight for lost by 4 points. That's a tight one.
That was League Two, mate.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. League Two. Wood Raiders is leading with an 8-1 record. The B Trench Invaders, 7-2. He's killing it. He's second in both leagues. There are a number of teams on 6-3 after that. 7-12 on 5-4 includes Barbecue for One and Chuck Person. And in a gentleman's 13th is the Pablos with a 4-5 record.
Oh, it's slowly edging up.
Yeah, I need to do a bit better, though, I think. Anyway, matchups for League One during the bye round. This is going to be a tough round. The Pablos play Barbecue for One, and I got you in our cash league this week, but I think you're going to stomp me this week.
I haven't actually.
You've got a number of Bulldogs players, and I've got nobody. So I think you're going to get a win there in League One. So that's a battle of the bad teams there. You're going to move ahead of me. I'm ahead of you at that at the moment. Chuck Person plays back to Belmore, which if that's anything to do with the Bulldogs and how they play at Belmore, he's probably going to get a win.
Yep.
The B-Trench Invaders call... play Call Me Big Puppy. League Two, Pablo's play Silent Gun. Chuck Person plays Tropic Thunder. Dun dun dun. Yeah! Plays Barbecue for One. And Casey's Clippers play the B Trench Invaders.
Interesting matchups this week.
Anyway.
Gonna be tough. I haven't done any bye planning, so it's just going to be a bit of a lottery.
You're still in front of me at this point in time. So, tipping comp.
Tipping comp. Tip of the bat, Rangers is still out in front, but he's joined.
Yes.
The Hain Pain, Chris, has joined him on 57 points. Tipping for most of us last week was a bit rough, but there was some sixes, fives and sixes in this league, which I don't know how you did it.
I reckon they didn't tip.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because I think a lot of way teams won, didn't they? Premium Den is in third. Haynes Lunch is in fourth, both on 56 points. Damn Tipsters still thinking Jimmy Hart's the hot snakes round out the top eight. And then we go down to the Pablo's on 52, five off the lead. Chuck Person, 51, one behind the Pablo's. And Barbecue for One is in on 49. Only went, three behind, so I'm catching
backwards.
Up.
Yeah, but you went backwards. You were tied with young Alex.
From the top, though. Like, I'm still only eight from the top.
Yeah, but you...
I was ten the week before.
No, you've been eight from the top for ages.
No. Yes? 2 weeks ago, I was 10 points from the top.
Okay, there you go.
So, I'm in the Barbecue Funds in 16th. Hellfisher in 17th. And rounding out in 46 points is a Raving Radbeef.
Oh dear, Raving's not as good as his Supercoach team. No. Anyway, all right, well, that brings us to the end of Supercoach. Let's talk about making some free money. How about that?
You better yell! Show me the money! What you gonna do, Jerry? Show me the money!
Muffy, your bet didn't get up last week.
I was close, he scored.
Yeah.
They won. Mm-hmm. It was 4.33 instead of 4.20.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, you buggered it up. Anyway, look, I've gone only $3 odds, $3.34. This is an impossible week. I think it's a crappy week to bet on. So, what I've done is I've gone the Panthers into the Titans to win. So, that's paying $3.34. So, who knows?
Did you pick the Panthers in your tipping?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if I didn't, that'd be silly.
Yes, correct.
Anyway, no same game multi as yet from Garth, unfortunately.
We are a little early on the recording.
We
but
are.
That's all right.
So normally I hit him up. But anyway, brings us to the end of the show. That's it. We're done. We're finito. We're finished.
I get that.
It's World Cup week this week. You got some World Cup music for me there?
Cricket, all right.
Yeah, that's what we may as well go with that. Why not? Who are you tipping in the World Cup? Who do you think's going to win? Give me your tip.
Look, I think the Aussies, they've got a good side. England, being in England, have got a big advantage.
I think England. But I think their side's so good.
They're good. And again, small grounds, they've got the advantage of playing in there. India's always difficult. I think for a smoky for this World Cup, I like the Lankans for a bit of a smoky.
Yeah, I like the Kiwis, I think.
Yeah, they've played well.
I think Trent Bolt, he's a phenomenal bowler, and he can win you a match on his own personally. So I think...
He's no Coulter Nile, Pete.
Well, your boy.
My
yes.
boy.
Yeah. Anyway, looking forward to watching some of that over the coming month.
When's it start? Thursday?
Coming month. Yeah, it starts Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
And the Aussies play, the powerhouse it is, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
In their first game.
Looking forward to that. I bet you they beat us. That'll probably happen. Anyway, all right, thanks very much for listening. Enjoy the football on the weekend. Enjoy Origin. Go New South Wales.
Yay.
Hooray. All right, see you next week. Bye.
And I look round in a state of fright.
Is this cricket enough for you?
I like it.
80s cricket. Caribbean.
Up and down a bit and turn to each other.
I gotta wait for the chorus.
You do. So we're still here.